and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into
the home team.
And here we go.
All right, kicking off hour number two, NFL top five, bottom five coming up later in the hour.
Yes.
And we'll start taking a look ahead, too, to the next weekend in college football.
Your famed Tuesday leans.
Tuesday leans. And also, we'll start keeping you up to date, too, on game four of the National League Division Series. Nationals and Dodgers just about to start. Clayton Kershaw, L.A. throwing him on short rest. And up until, I guess the Dodgers and Nationals didn't know what time they were going to play today until that game last night ended.
Which is odd. So basically the Dodgers, here they are in the playoffs. Your reward for winning the National League West, you get to play two early afternoon games, 1 o'clock
right.
and 2 o'clock.
I guess they decided it wouldn't have been fair to flip it and make the Cubs and by leadoff single for the Nationals. So
yes.
Kershaw, short rest. But anyway, I guess what they figured that it wouldn't be fair for the Cubs and the Giants to have to turn around and play at 2 Pacific after going into the, you know, well, the middle of the night here. I guess I have no idea what time that game ended. I would imagine it was probably even close to sometime between 11 and 12 o'clock out west, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But, so back-to-back days. They started at 1 Pacific yesterday and now 2 Pacific today. But that was the other thing, is they had no idea what time they were going to start until that game ended, because they would have played at like 8 o'clock tonight if it was the only game on.
And you know, what you were saying with Kershaw, I know it's a tough pickle to be in. You know, do you bring him on short rest and try and get to a game 5? And this is not an absolute. If there were absolutes, everybody would do it. I've just always found, I think you're better off just sticking with your regular rotation and your plans. And if the baseball gods have their finger on you, so be it.
Right. I'm with you on that too, because however the Dodgers got to this point, I mean, it's not like they've got terrible starting pitching.
Right.
Outside of Kershaw. And
he's not going to be 100%. You know it's in his head. And these guys now, it's a different breed. It's just like the closer, what you were saying last night, Chris, with the Giants and Cubs. These guys, their mentality now, I go in the ninth with a lead. And for some of these starters, if I don't have my 4 days rest, I'm not on. I just think you're better off going with your original plan, go with your rotation, take your chances.
Right. I mean, you do have to plan to win two games, and so what if the Dodgers do win this game, well, then they're not going to have Kershaw for game 5.
Right.
And I get, you know, if you don't win game 4, there's not going to be a game 5, so you Kershaw's your best pitcher, throw him then, but he is on short rest, and let's remember, too, he was injured this year.
Correct.
All right, let's get into the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
By the way, I've got one here, this Tuesday lean. Scary game, undefeated. Nebraska, just a 3.5-point favorite at Indiana.
Oh, that one's caught my eye.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you, there's another NFL position this week.
Oh, you're hot. You're back.
I'm back after last week's terrific Lions win.
All right, well, what about this? What about the 12:30 kickoff on the flats, Chris?
Oh, Georgia Southern catching 10.5.
Short, long week for the Eagles, although they had a bad loss.
Yeah, they didn't play well at Arkansas State, and still probably should have ended up winning that game and then blew it.
All right, I'm going to figure this thing out for you.
You want to try and guess?
Yeah, I do.
What my NFL spot is going to be?
I got you your worst game.
In the NFL?
Jacksonville at Chicago. I don't need to keep going down for that one. Oh, let's see here. Philadelphia, the Skins could, but not quite. Let's see. Boy, Dallas at Green Bay, that's two hot teams right there. Boy, Hang on a second. Let me go back up to this. Boy, there's some bad games. Carolina at New Orleans.
Oh, the NFL is it's awful.
It's awful.
It's terrible.
This week. It is really, really bad.
And what's it? What the Thursday night game this week is bad too, because it's
Denver at San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Denver's minus -2.
Although Denver's not going to have Kubiak, he's out a week.
He's at Chris. The only other one I could think would be, is it Kansas City at Oakland?
No.
All right, what do you got for me?
I can't. You haven't found it yet.
It's not the Colts at the
Steelers
Texans.
At the Dolphins.
Hang on, I'm looking at it. Yeah, but that line's 7.5. That's not like 2 or 3.
Oh. Well, I mean,
that's usually where you operate.
You want a game that's going to be
like where there's no way
where the terrible team's going to win straight up.
Yes. No, okay. I agree. I think Miami catching 7.5. Steelers have been very impressive. Miami looks terrible. But usually when you're gems on these, I'm just going to warn you, is when that line's like 2.5. And it's like, what is Vegas?
So you think that line looks about right?
I do.
Okay.
It didn't jump out at me.
All right.
So you can give your half stamp of approval. Just call it your lock of the week, not your. I'm Chris Brame, and I am 8-3 on my lock of the decade picks this season.
Well,
maybe not go that far.
And like I said too last week, we probably have hit that point where the bad teams are just
they're sorted out,
going to be bad.
Now here's what,
because like the Dolphins should be. I mean, the Dolphins should not try to win another game this season.
No, they're toast. They've got no chance.
Because they need to get rid
of
Ryan Tannehill. And they've got a chance at the top of the draft to get a franchise-changing quarterback.
By the way, this is an interesting one. Now, is Baltimore 4-1?
No, they've lost 2 in a row now. They lost to the Raiders and Skins.
That's right. Okay, they're a 3-point dog at the Giants, who did not look good in losing to Green Bay.
The Giants are awful.
They're terrible.
And that coach they hired, or they didn't really hire him; they just promoted him. That Ben McAdoo, or
what a stash.
Yeah.
What a mustache.
I mean, he just kind of looks like a character in a Mike Judge movie, like out of Office Space. And I look at him and I'm like, yeah, I don't see that guy being capable of controlling like Odell Beckham, like sitting him down and having Odell Beckham like really, like Tom Coughlin, I believe, could have.
You're right. It's like, look, Odell, you're a great player. You got to contain yourself. And I think, too, the way you say that one is, like, Odell, let me ask you this. What if every player acted like you did?
Yeah, that's wide receivers. Like, every wide receiver does. Except for A.J. Green. He's a good dude. Julio Jones, too.
Julio's not bad. No, not at all. Those guys, it is really amazing that they're the two best receivers to come out since Calvin Johnson and both from the deep south. One went to Georgia, one went to Bama. They were the top two recruits.
Signed the same year, yeah.
Top two receivers picked.
Yep.
It's crazy, that symmetry there. So, let's see, Bramer, we what got leadoff single still? Is that what we got?
Leadoff single. Now Harper's at the plate, and he's been fouling off a bunch of pitches. It's a 3-2, so he's working that pitch count. Then there's ball 4.
Oh, boy, it's tight already in Dodger Town.
I wish
so
they had his
second?
Oh, there he is. He's already thrown 10 pitches now.
Oh, this the move, it's already backfired.
Yes.
He's on short rest. He's thrown 10 pitches. It's in his head.
Because I believe it was a one-pitch single, and then Harper just worked. That was a 9-pitch at-bat there. Got him 3-2, and now, yeah.
You know, we had Georgia, we had a series this year. We had a rainout on a Friday night. Although we sat around Columbia, Missouri for 3.5 hours, played a doubleheader Saturday, and we won game one. Their ace is a guy named Tanner Houck, who will probably be the number one pick in this next draft. Big, hard throwing righty, 6'4", 6'5", 230, throws upper 90s. And our leadoff man, it was Nick King. I think he had a 12 or 13 pitch at bat. And I remember Dave said it right there. It's like that first at bat. Houck wound up – we would have been a heavy underdog in that game were there action on it. Houck threw
– Oh, there was.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
That exists.
Houck threw 34 pitches in that first inning, and we wound up winning that game. He got chased in about the fifth or sixth.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, really, if you're Washington right now, even if you don't score here, you're saying, okay, we're going to take a couple of pitches. We're going to try and bunt. You get him up over 20 pitches this inning.
Get him out of there.
Yeah.
Now you got Worth at the plate with two on, nobody out.
They've shot their bullet.
Worth had a huge day yesterday.
I'll tell you what, I'll give Washington credit, too, for sometimes positioning in the order can be a little bit I don't know. In the number two spot for whatever, well, you want your fast guy at number one, your best hitter at three. I like him putting Harper and Worth in there at 2-3. They're their two most threatening guys.
No.
They're guaranteed. Both of them are guaranteed to hit in the first inning.
I want my two best hitters at 1 and 2, the two spots I get the most at-bats.
No, there you go. But I like that, hitting those guys 2 and 3.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, on the 5 at 5 today, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Your opening statements on Vanderbilt week for Georgia, obviously, as we know, because we were even talking about it last week, this is a it's an odd week for the Dogs on short rest.
I think what you have to do, and I'm sure what Kirby is doing, you're going to be a winner or you're going to be a whiner. We didn't know who we were going to play last weekend. Now we're coming in on short rest. This is what we're going to deal with. I think you have to use the adversity here, and it's hard to use a word like adversity considering what's happened to the coast of Georgia, to South Carolina, and to North Carolina, but to use football adversity, to use that as some fire for the team, because even some of Vandy's best teams, you know, you're telling the guys, look, this is not your typical Vanderbilt team. They still see Vanderbilt on the schedule, and they're not going to get jacked up like they do for Tennessee or Auburn or Florida or Tech.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Vandy's been close. They almost beat Florida. They almost beat South Carolina. But going on the short week, too, you know, everybody's going to be picking against you the short week, all that. I would bet that's the play going on in the Georgia locker room, and I think that's the way to go.
Right. Well, you know, the winners are the whiners thing. It's just you say, listen, Clemson did it. They played Saturday at home against Louisville, and then they went on a Friday night, and they beat Boston College on the road 59-10 or whatever that final was. I think it was 59-10. So they were a winner. They weren't a whiner.
That's right.
They did on a short week. But
a winner. And again, Chris, you made a great point last week.
Thank you.
How many of these guys, it was high school football, you know, played – whether it's in the playoffs, because it's rare to have a high school game now on a Saturday, but it happens. So, you know, these guys played a high school game on a Saturday and had one the next Friday. Now, yeah. I understand it's at night, and it does hurt that the thing's at noon, but again, it is. You're going to be a winner, you're going to be a whiner.
Right.
You're going on short. I can remember, too, Chris, when we won the two basketball games at Tech in the SEC tournament. And, I mean, hey, I was like, oh, my gosh, how are we going to do this? We beat Kentucky. I had a couple of buddies in my gut. Man, these guys have been playing three AAU games a day since they were 12 years old. It's really not that huge a deal for them. And sure enough, that night game, when we beat Mississippi State, Brame Sundiata's at the wrong. We're up 16-2 before you could blink. At that spot, it was like, boy, we were kind of the hot team then. So, you know, these guys have done stuff like this before.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it might be more of an adjustment for the coaches that are game, you know.
I agree.
That they're, you know, when they're watching film, when they're installing the game plan and then relating it to the players, what they need to do. Because there's a couple things about Vandy. Now, granted, they've played in the league. They've played South Carolina, Kentucky, and Florida. But they're first in the SEC in total defense, giving up 4.23 yards per play. And I would say, Georgia's offense ain't that much better than those other three teams.
No.
If it is at all.
There's one area where Georgia's great.
Running back.
Yes.
So, but here's the other – Vandy's offense, though, in those three SEC games have scored a total of 2 touchdowns so far this season. So, offensively, they struggled against the league. Defensively, they've been really good against the league. But, yeah, we knew that about Vandy. They've got a nice, nasty defense, but their offense, it has been a struggle for them.
And then that's where that kicking game cannot get killed in the hidden yardage department. Can't give them short fields.
Yeah, I mean, Blankenship was kicking touchback Saturday or Sunday. Hopefully he can do that again this weekend.
Boy, Long's been really inconsistent. Got a couple of great rolls, but
yeah,
he's been inconsistent. He's got to hit the ball better.
Right. I know. I think it was brought up today about, you know, the decisions to punt or kick in some of those, and I've had a problem with some of those, but not because they haven't kicked field goals. It's because they've punted. I think the decision should be: are you kicking a field goal or are you going for it? Do not punt from your opponent's 30-yard line, please. Stop doing that. But I mean, I understand why you're not kicking the field goal, because
sure,
you don't trust your field goal kicker. But stop punting from your opponent's 30-yard line. You know who does that? Like Kansas.
Well, at that point, was it 4th and 5, and then the Dogs took the delay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, technically it was the 35.
No, but
they made
the
decision to punt from the 30.
And was that the drive too, where McKenzie dropped the touchdown? at 14-0?
No, that was right after they got that. Roquan recovered that fumble, and they had a short run. Maybe it was the play drive. I don't remember.
But
they
got irritated.
They got 0 yards, were stuck on the 30, and decided to punt. It was 4th and 5.
I got irritated, too. There was that one. It was either 7-0 or 14-0. It might have been the same one. I mean, the running game, those backs were in a rhythm. The line was going. And we came out and we chunked it 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
And it's and I understand, boy, you're trying to get – and I understand you've got to throw some. But, I mean, Georgia's backs – we're doing so well, and I'm sure, and again, here's the thing with Jim Chaney's a terrific offensive coordinator. I'm a huge fan of his, and for OCs, you know, you run 70 plays, 65 of them work. You're going to pick apart the 5 that didn't work. They're all designed to work, but what happened when the running game's going like that? You try and throw 3 straight downs, and then when Chubb has the long run at 14-0, got a little cute with running McKenzie instead of just giving it to Michelle or Harry and popping in there, and then to throw a pass with Eason, who was having a horrible day. And the thing, too, about the pass on the interception that got tipped up, Chris, even if that's completed, it's maybe a 2 or 3 yard gain. It wasn't a risk-reward type play that worked well. Something else, too, for Eason and his maturation, the network did a great job of showing that. On the pick, George had a receiver break wide open in the end zone, and that's where the speed of the game that we talked about and taking your growing pains with a freshman quarterback, finding that secondary receiver.
Yeah, he's had a couple of those this year
has.
Where he's missed. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that was the thing about Sunday. You know, a couple of times when Georgia decided, you know, we feel like we need to throw the ball here, because I mean they were facing like 8-9 man boxes
sure.
all afternoon, so the opportunities to pass were there because the running game was going so well. The play seemed to work. I mean, it was Eason was just way off target Sunday.
He was off, but yeah, that was the one though. I did think at that point at 14-0, and I'm sure if they had it to do all over again, they would change the play because it didn't work. I mean, that's the
right.
note of all time. But, I mean, the running game was killing them. Chubb just rips one off. They are 5.5 feet under. You're on the 9-yard line. They're hoping you throw the ball. The last thing they want to see after Chubb went, what was that, about a 40-yard run? The last thing they want to see then is Harry and Ersoni coming wide side, left side, with Christian Payne leading the way.
Yeah, well then, yeah, but that all started, that sequence, because they got cute with McKenzie.
And then he starts to try and run backwards.
Yeah,
just get it.
Right.
Ride those backs there.
But those, you know, we all understand. You don't have confidence in the field goal kicking team. I don't think any – Georgia fans do at this point, but it's not like not a question of field goal or punt. It should be field goal or go for it. I mean, punting from the 30, that's what those teams of the Eastern Michigan and whatnot do.
Boy,
and what's your Tuesday lean on the game?
I think Georgia's going to win. I do not anticipate it being easy.
I was wondering this. Like,
Dogs
we've
by
seen,
10.
We've seen, I mean, the 14.5, I think you have to take the 14. You know my policy with Vandy, and when they're a double-digit underdog in the SEC. By the way, 1-0 Nationals.
How many outs?
One. They Worth struck out, and then the next guy got an RBI single. So runners on first and second.
Already backfired on them.
But, but here's what I was wondering. All right, Georgia's had they've had the one game against Ole Miss where it didn't even look like they – you know, yeah. showed up.
The perfect storm game.
You know, they've had the boom. Just
devastation.
The devastation. They've had the game that they dominated and was closer than it should have been. I mean, in the end, statistically, they ended up not dominating Sunday. Yeah. But
if you watch a game, Georgia should have been up 35-7 in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, unless we count the North Carolinas that game, Georgia hasn't had that one game where they looked like the best team in the country.
The magic game. And I don't know if with the line of scrimmage, if Georgia's going to see that. But I do still contend, Chris, we were saying this before the year, that I think this team will play its best football in November.
Could Saturday be the game where maybe they look like the best team in the country?
It'd be great to see it. You know, I mean, and I think one of the things that is going to be key – and we've seen it a lot the last 2 games. I'd like to have, click down the interception, and I wouldn't have wanted to shotgun to Eason in the end zone. And those two turnovers there, the last two games, are ones where I think the staff would either publicly or privately tell you, we put him in a bad spot there. But I just think the key is know what you got, know what you are, know what you do well that worries the other team. And when those backs have got the football in their hands, that worries the other team. So think about this, Chris. If you took the backs off this Georgia team, is this a 4-8 team?
It could be, yeah. It would be one, I think, that would struggle for bowl eligibility, sure. Yeah.
So, think about it. You take Sony off of last year's team after Chubb got hurt. It's a loss to Auburn, a loss to Georgia Southern, a loss to Tech.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
So that's what you got. That's what you got to roll with.
Well, think about it. Even with them, every game Georgia plays the rest of the season is, they could, yeah, it's not an automatic W.
They're all losable, all winnable. Have you noticed, too, South Carolina with Edwards, outstanding freshman, certainly Tennessee, certainly Ole Miss. It's one of the things Kirby's pointed to, and the receivers who are committed, all three of them are 6'2 or 6'3. And maybe it's just the size with the last three teams Georgia's played. And God, Missouri, the last four. But receiver, to me, almost looks the position where Georgia looks markedly smaller more than any position.
Yeah, compared to what we saw Sunday, yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes, because they're all, McKenzie, Godwin, and Chigbu's really like the biggest one, but now he's more of like what they would call a possession receiver.
Right.
Yeah, but I think those bigger ones were playing a lot Sunday just because Georgia's game plan was to run. And, I think we've figured out that with Godwin, he's not a great blocker.
No,
he's so those bigger guys are going to be the ones doing it.
Well, that's the one, too. But remember, before the end of the half, Harrion has a long run, and Godwin grabs the guy by the ankle for the holding penalty.
Yeah.
Terry, they're going to get you for that one every time. He's a dynamic player.
Oh, that was a pretty easy one for them.
Yeah, but and maybe this return will get him going. And Jim Chaney's done a good job getting the ball to Godwin and McKenzie in different ways. But they're just not big enough to be able to consistently get off the line and get open, and especially with some of the pass protection woes Georgia's having. And, again, I'm telling you, even you could have five stars lying in your whole offense. If you don't have a mobile quarterback, a lot of stuff has got to go right to sustain offensive success.
All right, Jeff, quickly, Jim McElwain is upset. He doesn't think it's fair. He doesn't like people insinuating that Florida was dodging LSU. And they used Hurricane Matthew to do it. Is that fair criticism to think that Florida's doing that?
Absolutely fair criticism of Florida's football program, of their athletic department right there. LSU offered up the olive branch, and LSU, more than any other school, they know what it's like to go through one of these. I think Tennessee, with what they had with A&M and Bama coming up, I think Florida looked at that schedule and kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, said, no, we're just not going to go out there. I think that is absolutely fair criticism.
Also, don't forget the Gators are still banged up because they were probably going to play without Del Rio last week. Del Rio's probably coming back, though, this week for Missouri. So they looked at another one, too, and were like, we don't have to play our backup quarterback.
Do you agree that's fair criticism?
Absolutely, I do. Because I don't think ultimately they want to play it, because if they're 6-1 at the end of the year,
they're in.
What are the chances the game gets made up? I think it's
less than 1%.
Yeah. I don't think it's zero because, they're going to try, and maybe Greg Sankey can negotiate some way to get it done.
But LSU's not going to do that deal, Chris, the week before Thanksgiving. Unless A&M were to agree to go to Saturday.
Right. And, I know if LSU's 7-1, then they're going to want to play, or 6-1, then they're going to want to play it. But they're not going to be because they play Ole Miss, they play Bama, they play Texas A&M on the road, they play Arkansas, who they haven't beaten in 2 years.
Well, here's what bothers me.
Florida could very well be 6-1.
They could be. Here's what bothers me is now the commissioner's office is going up on this stance. Oh, we're going to do – no, we want to get this game played. Well, where was that strength earlier in the week? This decision should have been made. We've all, and especially people here, we've been impacted. A lot of people have by what happened with this hurricane. It was a hurricane, not a tornado and an earthquake. You knew it was coming. The decision should have been made by Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning with the Georgia-South Carolina and the Florida-LSU game. They're both either canceled, they're both either moved to Sunday, or they're both moved to or both staying on Saturday but moved to the other campus or a neutral site. The fact that one was played and one wasn't is ridiculous.
Right. And the commissioner really wasn't in control there.
It is ridiculous.
Even if they say he signed off on it.
So now, and I'm sure there's grief coming, but I don't see any way they can play the game.
Oh, I don't think so either. So we'll talk some more about the particulars. I was happy to see that Greg McGarrity did officially firmly say that moving the Georgia-Florida game is absolutely not an option.
And to think, with all the damage we've gotten in coastal Georgia and North Florida,
yeah,
to move that game up?
Yeah. No, that's absurd.
No, it's absurd.
All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.